Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
In this episode of the Shape of Work podcast, SpringWorks sales specialist Lokesh Gautam talks to Nina Bhaskar, a talent professional currently working with a leading medical devices firm, leading their talent acquisition for the region. Nina holds a master's degree in human resource management from Temple University. She has worked across various customer-focused functions and HR spaces in different industries for over 15 years now. Nina is driven towards creating, implementing result-driven talent and people strategies, focusing on business, technology, and long-term value creation. In the episode, she explains how an organization should communicate to others as an employer brand, and also shares insights covering topics focusing on hiring, employee engagement, culture, diversity, and inclusion. She also shares a series of assessment tools to help managers hire the best people.
Welcome to the Shape of Work podcast, Nina. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Lokesh, for having me here.
So to begin with, I request you to please take me and the listeners through your professional journey, how you started and how did BD happen to you?
So I started my career pretty early. I started 1 year out, you know, when I 1 year after my school. And that was because I had good grades, but I was scared because my seniors told me that I'll be bullied in college. So I said I'll do my graduation through distance learning. But at the same time, I had this hunger to work. So I wanted to do something. I didn't want to just sit at home and, you know, do that distance learning bit. Yeah. So I started working. I started my career in 2001. I started with a business process outsourcing center, BPO. It's called Hero TSC now, I think. It used to be called Hero ITS. It's based in Gurgaon. And that's the irony of how things happened with me, because on one hand, I was scared to go to college because of bullying. On the other hand, I joined a BPO where I had to travel at night. And but that's how I started. And then I worked in India for till 2010 March. And I dabbled through a lot of different functions. So I was in sales, I was in client management, marketing, relationship management. Training and development was a part of my career for almost 6 years and more. And that's where I realized that HR as a function was following me through one or the other means. So in some cases, I was part of functions. In some cases, there were elements of HR like employee engagement, employee relations, where I was part of those teams and committees. So HR was a part of my career somehow, though I didn't choose it. And in some roles, I also headed HR for those organizations when I was in India. Those were startups. Then in 2010, I moved to Singapore. And my first role in Singapore was with Experian. I realized getting a foot in the door in the HR field here was possibly difficult. So I gave up on that. And I joined Experian as their business development lead for Southeast Asia for their digital services. But within 2 months, I realized there was an opportunity. In the organization, in HR team. I spoke to the VP HR there. She was gracious enough to let me in. And from there, started my career. I worked with, after that, with Mundi Pharma. Betadine is their flagship product that you see in a lot of shops today.
Then I've used Betadine.
So I was lucky enough to work with them. Then I worked with a startup in Thailand. And after that, I landed in BD, where today I manage their talent acquisition for Asia-Pacific region.
So you carry diverse experience throughout several industries, several functions. So talking about HR here, again, in HR, you have dealt with various functions, right? So here I want to talk about employer branding. So employer branding is something that a lot of people talk about, right? So here I have a question about employer branding on communication. So whenever you want to communicate your company to others, so how, according to you, should we do it? Or what are the important pointers that should be kept in mind while communicating your company to other people?
Lokesh, when you talk about employer branding, there are two elements to it. First is employee branding that we call it, which is external. And there is internal employee branding that is employee value proposition. And today, more and more, it's become important for organizations to have a very good employee branding strategy, both internally and externally. So to start off with employee value proposition, which is internal branding, and a company should have a solid EVP in place because that's their unique selling point. And that is what differentiates them from others. It's about how they manage their employees, what do they provide to their employees, and what is in it for their employees to be part of that branding game.
Correct.
Then we come to the external branding piece, which is what we call employer branding. And, you know, your employees, again, become a part of that. But before any organization does that, I think to create your brand, a few things that they can keep in mind is knowing your audience better. Understand what is the demographics of audience, understanding where do they come from, who do you want to target? You don't want to target everybody. Then it would be important to understand how do they consume their content? Do they consume their content through digital means, through print media? What are the different channels? Then leveraging on those channels is important. So if it's a job prospect, if it's a candidate that you're looking at or job prospects that people are looking at, CareerSite is your best place to go and brand your organization. Provide information about what your culture is all about. Company homepage is where consumers would land up. So you can do a lot of branding there. You can use professional networking sites like LinkedIn, Glassdoor, Indeed.com. And if your demographics is are people who focus on print media, then that is where you should be. Then today, a lot of people talk about storytelling. That's very important. People want to know. What is the idea behind a certain concept or what is the story behind it? And we all were raised on stories, you know, we've forgotten that. So, storytelling has become an imperative part today of communication, communicating a brand, making it visual. People don't have a lot of time today. So making it visual is extremely important. And the best people to do, storytelling for you are your employees. So having a solid employee brand, branding advocacy program would really help. And lastly, I would say make sure that you have metrics and measures in place. You should be willing to test your brand in the market, how it's doing, and you should be willing to adapt, have that flexibility, agility to change if there is a need, because the talent market, the consumer market is shifting day by day.
So that was a very, very insightful answer. Thank you for that answer, Nina. So let's stay with the HR function, and I just talked about employee branding. Now, moving to another part of being an HR is that you get to hire people, you get to interact with a lot of people from different talent pools, right? So finding the right fit for a function might be a very, very tedious task. I haven't worked with HR, but I know that it is a tedious task. So how do you make sure that you are sourcing the right talent from a pool of individuals?
So to be honest, there is no foolproof method, to find the right person for the role, and that person is going to be the right person, because we are dealing with human beings. There is always a chance of error. But some pointers that I can share from my end for HR team members and hiring managers would be being creative. Every candidate knows there's a list of questions that any hiring manager would ask. And those are those cliched questions. So let's be creative about what you're going to ask. I remember one of my leaders when I was in India and I was doing this session on recruiting, actually. He mentioned how he would pick up, these objective statements in resumes, and he would pick one word out of that statement and all of a sudden would ask the candidate. And most of the times the candidates would not know what to say, because a lot of people would just put those statements or, as we call objective in India, on a resume and forget about it. They think it will create an impression, but whether they're really living it and can they really deliver to that statement, that's a question. So being creative during interviews really helps. Being challenging, giving them situation scenarios where they can demonstrate their true character, how they work with the teams, that can be done, because you don't have to go with a set of questions that every hiring manager is asking, or even, you ask everybody. You can always change gears and ask something different, creative, And there will be preferences from dancers. For example, from their dance, that really helps. Another thing would be to focus on, you know, critical thinking and attitude. We focus on technical skills a lot because that's what we want, right? The work to be done. But focusing on soft skills, professionalism, body language, emotional intelligence, needs, how do they solve problems? How do they work with diverse groups? That really helps. Also, peer-to-peer meetings. Let the candidate, if you have facility available or that option available, let the candidate have an interaction with one of the peers, future peers in the team, because that helps the person to understand how the team operates, and also the team members to have a say and understand people coming from different backgrounds in the initial stage itself.
Yep.
Lastly, culture fit, as we all say, I would say that, you know, making culture a part of the recruitment process. I can quote about BD. At BD, we have, you know, an interview questionnaire that we give to all hiring managers that's purely based on culture.
Okay.
So, and there are a set of questions based on different values that we have, and they're free to choose whatever questions they ask. But that helps them to understand that, you know, the values that we're talking about at BD, whether we are bringing in people who align to those values. But let me just say here, I'm not saying that, you know, we have to bring people who are similar to us. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that, you know, we need to find candidates who understand what our values are, what is our mission, and then at the same time can bring different perspectives.
So that again was a very insightful answer. I know that job aspirants on the other side of the screen would now know that why they are rejected for some specific functions, right? And whenever they're not hired, they want to the HRs now, right? Since they know the reality and they have seen the other side of the coin now. Again, here you coined a term called diversity, right? So, and you also mentioned about cultural diversity at BD. I know that diverse environments are always fun to work in. You get to meet a lot of people. You get to meet people from different ethnicities, different countries, different religions. So again, I feel that there might be some challenges when it comes to coping with these people, getting into this environment. So what, according to you, are the challenges that people face in diverse working environments, and how can one overcome that?
So honestly, if you ask me, I think I feel lucky that today we get to work in a diverse environment, because that helps us to think beyond our limited imagination. Mm-hmm. And it also brings in a lot of creativity and innovation, isn't it? And we learn in that process. But having said that, I understand that, you know, it could be tough when early professionals or we're coming from working in a set background for many years. Some challenges that I see, I would say, are communication issues that can happen due to different cultures, ethnicities, language barrier. So what we want to communicate, the intent could be same, but, you know, how we convey the messages, how we communicate, that could lead to a lot of problems. As I covered, cultural sensitivity, you know, that's something that I can think of. Then I can think of generational and age differences. You know, we talk about Gen Z, millennials, Gen Y. So that could be something that we can consider as a challenge. And all of this, if you look at it, leads to trust issues within the team. There's a lot of hostility, unproductive behaviors that you find in the team because of these challenges that we see. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you had asked how to deal with these issues. First and foremost, I think organizations have to honestly look at, you know, identifying these issues and clearly articulating, defining these issues. That's very important, not keeping a blind eye to it. Then the second thing, we come up with a diversity program, which is a long-term diversity program, not a one-off practice, with enough measures and metrics in place to check its efficacy from time to time and tie it with your company values and culture. That's very important. Then the most important people in your company come into play, your employees. So have them to be the advocates for your diversity program. And for that, what you need to do is you need to train them. You need to provide them with the resources. You need to help them understand how it helps them, how it impacts them, and what is in it for them.
And very important to have your leaders, your hiring managers to not just endorse it, your people managers, not them to endorse it, but also for them to walk the talk, lead it by example.
Right.
I would also say that something that came to my mind, having a committee in place, you know, having a diversity committee in place with the right mix, having representation from all the groups that you have in the organization, starting from ethnicity to age to gender to special abilities. Because if you have representation from all the groups in a committee like that, you will be able to reach all those groups. You will be able to, you know, inject the values and the culture that you want to. But at the same time, they will be able to also let you know how do they feel about things, what are their opinions and inputs, so that you can make changes accordingly.
Yeah, thank you, Nina. Those were some valuable inputs. And I think we and the listeners on the other end would be able to take up some of the pointers from here and incorporate them as a part of their culture so that the cultural diversity at their place booms. Now, when you were talking about cultural diversity, you again came up with a term called trust and also engagement. Trust and engagement go hand in hand. And of late, we have seen that this pandemic broke out. All the organizations have moved to remote work model. Now, again, here, there's a question about trust. How do the managers and the organizations trust their employees? How do they build trust of their employees, right? And how do they build engagement? How, according to you, in these trying times, in these new normals, how can we cope up with this, or how can the organization deal with it?
So trust has always been important for organizations. Yes, I agree that now it's become all the more important because we live in a virtual world. We are working from home. So we worry about, you know, a lot of things that I hear is whether employees are working well, they are working fine, they are doing their bit. So I think trust is two-way, and organizations have to make sure that, you know, as much as you expect employees to trust you, you trust employees too. You'll be amazed to know that, you know, 45% of people, it was in a survey I read somewhere that 45% of people say lack of trust in leadership, it's the biggest detriment to their work performance.
Can't agree more on this point. Yeah.
Yes, they feel less motivated. They feel unproductive. So imagine, you know, what sort of an impact it's having on the company, on the organization overall. So some things that organizations can look at for building trust and would be having a clear communication plan, you know, whenever you're communicating, any messages that you're communicating with your employees, for any reason, be clear, be transparent, do not leave any space for ambiguity. Don't leave them wondering what's next. Yeah. Then having clear reporting lines so that they know where to go, who to speak with, when they have any issues or any concerns. It happens a lot of times organizations go through these massive org structure restructuring and changes, and then employees get confused. So not to have that, have clear reporting lines in place. Provide enough resources and support tools for them to work efficiently. That's very important, and it has become very, very imperative today, especially when we are working from home, providing them with well-being programs, online support programs. That's going to help them understand that you're invested in them. And also with, you know, so much of changes in the market, I would say provide them with relevant trainings. Don't just go with the same trainings that you've been giving them for years, because people are worried about their progression, their own development. They wonder what's going to happen since everyone is working from home. Are they dispensable? So organizations have to work on upskilling their employees so that they feel that the organization is invested in them. And having your people managers to endorse and do things is very important. One is organizations are doing their bit, but then is it reaching employees? That's where your people managers come into play. So training your people managers, making sure that they do regular check-ins with their teams, listen to what their teams have to say, work on whatever feedback the teams have to give. Having that culture of feedback is very important. Finding ways to connect with people personally. When I say personally, be personal, but don't be private. Yeah. Emotional connect has become, I think, 10 times more important today. But right. Still, there is a fine line between being personal and private. Yeah. So understanding that. using various media tools that we have available, various exercises, coffee chats, virtual lunches, virtual team building activities. A lot of companies have come up with that. We can look at that. And lastly, I think, especially when you're working with virtual teams, distributing power during conversations, having each and every person in the team to talk about something so that they stay focused, they stay engaged, and they stay invested.
Yeah, wonderful answer, Nina. So I have taken notes of almost everything that you said in this answer, right? And we actually have been talking about culture and values for last two questions. One more question around culture and values. And then, we can jump to some other topic. So what, according to you, are some of the long-term values that the company should focus on while building culture?
I would say having a very clear purpose. Today, a lot of people want to work with organizations that have a purpose that serves people. Especially with COVID happening, I think more and more people want to connect themselves to organizations which have a higher purpose. So having a clear purpose is important. Being inclusive is very important. Mm-hmm. I think you can't go diverse without being inclusive. So making sure your people feel connected, feel listened to, that's important. High level of integrity is important. I learned it long back that, doing right when someone is watching is great, but doing right when no one is watching is what you need to do. So having a high level of integrity, that's very important.
Very
transparency. Yes. So I think we all need to do that, having that high level of integrity. And then clarity and transparency in whichever way you operate, that's extremely important. More and more, one leadership aspect that's coming up nowadays is servant leadership, where more and more leaders are going into that mode of being servant leaders. I think that's great because that's where we can have people be more empowered, people be more accountable for their roles and responsibilities and their contribution to the organization. So servant leadership is a good value to have for an organization so that leaders support employees with all the tools and necessary things that they need to progress while not taking the lead in finishing up the work. But Lokesh, this question has also, made me think about something else that if I may share with you. We spoke about, what could be the long-term cultures, but let's talk about, what companies should do to have these long-term cultures, these long-term values as part of the culture. So companies, I think, should be investing in flexible work arrangements. We've moved to a virtual world. I recently on a poll on LinkedIn, actually, I saw somebody had asked, considering the new way of working, what would be your ask from an organization? And I think 60%, if I'm not wrong, people voted for flexible work arrangements. Only 12 voted for online support. So more and more people want that flexibility to work from anywhere, even if it's not home, as long as the work is being done. Looking at, promoting teamwork and collaboration through different tools and technologies which are available, companies should invest in that to promote these long-term values that we spoke about. Then look at employee well-being programs. How can, more and more well-being programs be provided? That could be parenting, coaching support. That could be, financial wellness, spiritual wellness, mental well-being, which has become a huge topic today. So if organizations look at all these programs, and there is much more than what I've just mentioned, I think the values that we were talking about will automatically come into play because employees are being part of the organization.
That's right. So I like the way in which you amalgamate your answer with facts, stats, and some theories as well. So the answers are really coming out nice, and I really like the way you answer the questions. So now talking about some startups which are coming up every day, some of the startups are on booming stage. So recently you mentioned about some technologies, right? Some tech products that are available in the HR tech domain. So I want to know how can these startups leverage these tools in order to ascertain that performance delivery is better from the employees?
So, if you talk about startups, most of the startups are focused on hiring people. hire people, get the product out, get the work done. And that's the nature of startups. Having said that, I personally feel, because I've worked with two startups, that when startups get investors or get a bit of funding, aside from product development and hiring, they should focus on setting aside a little bit of that fund for investing in good HR tools and technology, because these investments are long-term. And they not just help you to hire good talent, but they also help you to retain and keep the workforce engaged. So some tools that I can talk about for startups would be having a good recruitment tool, having a good artificial intelligence recruiting tool. And there are a lot of tools like that available in the market today, because they help you to, do CV screening, interview scheduling. You can you have applicant self-service in that. You have automated candidate assessments. In some cases, there are also chatbots available to assist hiring managers and recruitments in terms of helping candidates get answers to basic benefits queries about insurance and all. And also onboarding. So if organizations were to invest in a good AI recruiting tool, that can help a lot to save time for your managers as well as your HR to do something more productive and engaging for your workforce. Then I would say, having employee self-service, that's a good platform, because that helps organizations not just save money and save admin cost, but at the same time, you also have data at one place. You're making your employees self-sufficient. They can find data by themselves or information by themselves. And the self-service also leads to a lot of data accuracy. And there are a lot of cost-effective cloud-based HR tools today that are available for organizations to opt for employee and manager self-service. Performance management system, that's a critical tool for any organization where, the performance can be measured and rewarded automatically. It's automated. And some of these tools also help you to identify high potentials, give instant feedback. So that's a very important tool that an organization should invest in. By the very nature of startups, I think they're highly agile. So having tools where gamification is involved keeps startups or their employees engaged. You can have peer-to-peer feedback through that. You can have rewards, and you can have even performance management. You can have that, because I remember working with an organization in the past where we were working with a US-based company, and we were building a performance management module that was based on gamification. And anywhere the employee was to travel, he would get a stamp, a visa stamp or an immigration stamp, which meant he would get a point that would help him to move to the next level. So gamification is very interesting. Then we have a lot of cost-effective collaborative tools available, like your Slack, where you can, share files, you can brainstorm ideas, you can compare notes. You have Dropbox and Google Drive, where you can store a lot of data. The interface is pretty easy. It's cloud-based, so your data is safe and backed up. And at the same time, it's extremely cheap for mass storage. So startups can leverage on that, and it's not going to be expensive for them. You can also use project management tools like Jira and Basecamp, where teams can share projects. They can interact with each other, ask questions. And I would say, lastly, by the true nature of, startups, making things, virtual or mobile. So on-the-go access to training programs, learning modules. Today, people don't have time, even if it's a startup or it's not a startup. So having learning modules available on the go helps with employee upskilling, their development. But at the same time, that helps organizations to ensure that, whatever programs you want to roll out, those are rolled out in the most efficient manner. So that should be done. And I would say, lastly, with all of this, what comes into play is if you can have all of this in one integrated solution, that really helps. Because then employees don't have to go through the frustration of multiple sign-ons. You can find data at one place as HR, as people managers, and there is data accuracy that you can be sure of.
Yeah. So I am very lucky to be working with an organization which employs all the methods that you currently stated. So we have tools for almost everything, like peer-to-peer recognition and a learning management system. So we have almost everything, and we also are a startup, a budding startup. So lucky to be working with a startup like this. And again, this was an answer that will give a lot of learning to the new startups on how to scale themselves. So yes. Finally, as we inch closer to the end of this podcast, Meena, I would like if you could please sum up the entire process from like employee onboarding to engagement to employee offboarding. What are some tips that you would like to give to the HR professionals out there? And how do you think the HR professionals will be going to play a role in these challenging times to turn around the shape of HR, how HR works?
So, I'm still learning. So, it's only as much that I can advise.
You hold an experience of more than 15 years in this domain. So that's a very handsome experience.
But yes, what I can share is that we've come far from where HR used to be seen as a function where you would just print letters and you would just, a lot of departments would think of HR as a policing department. We've come way, way far ahead from that. Today, HR has become a voice on the table, a function that, everyone thinks is indispensable. So, for HR teams, all I can say is that, we've been doing, a great job in, managing things and being that voice on the table and being part of the business. We keep doing that. But at the same time, it doesn't end because we are dealing with human beings. So we continue to upskill ourselves. We continue to keep our eye on the ball and see what's happening in the market. What are the different tools and technologies coming up in the market? Because that's how we add value by providing the right programs and processes and tools to the businesses so that they can do their work more efficiently. Talking about the conversation that we had today, Lokesh, I think we touched upon the branding piece where most important for an organization is to understand its audience, understand how do they consume content, having their employees to talk about their story, and lastly, being authentic, being thoughtful about different cultures, being truthful about what do they want to present, and at the same time, being consistent. Do not think of it as one-off program and then just leave it, because branding is continuous. And if you don't continue to evolve, sooner or later, you're going to perish. So they need to ensure that. We spoke also about, diversity. I think what's important for organizations is to be inclusive before they go diverse. Make your employees part of your conversations. Listen to them. Understand their inputs. And when you're talking about inclusivity, have a committee in place which has the right mix of all the diverse groups you have in the organization, because that's going to make it easy for people who come from non-diverse backgrounds, let's say, or early professionals to have, easily sink into those groups or the organization and be part of that culture. Lastly, I think we spoke about startups and, we spoke about, what are the things that startups can do. I would highly recommend, based on my experience, that startups should look at keeping aside a bit of funding for HR processes and tools and technology. But most of all, before you go ahead and invest in anything as a startup, hire an HR professional. Okay. That's very important. A lot of organizations, when they start, somebody from finance, somebody from accounting, somebody from ops is managing the recruitment process because that's all they think initially HR is about. That is not. So get somebody who understands HR. It's going to save you time. It's going to save you cost on agencies, which a lot of times startups rely on. And at the same time, it will also give this HR person enough time to, carve out strategies and processes for the organization. Because when you are in tens, you have time to do all of this. When you go to hundreds and thousands, there is a lot of chaos in place and emotions in place that you have to manage. And at that point of time, if you expect from somebody who's just come new into the organization to come up with a magic wand to bring processes and things into place,
it will be a little challenging for everybody. So hire an HR person before you even invest in technology, I would say.
Yeah. So thank you for that wonderful answer, Nina. You gave us insights about all the things that we have a word around today. So I look forward to recording some more podcasts with you on different functions, not only HR. Today we had a word about HR, and since you have experience across various domains, so would like to explore them as well. And also the pointers that you put forward on the table today were of great learning to me, and I hope that listeners would also be take away some pointers from here and then incorporate them into their companies, their cultures, in order to come out as a better company or a better individual. So yeah, thank you for your inputs today, Nina.
Thank you for inviting me here, Lokesh.
So it was a great pleasure having you here. Thanks for coming.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.